And the Mishnah said it then the following. If a woman goes out with a Numa, the Gemara said it was a sign that they did to get married as a psula, so then her ksuba is $200. Meaning there's no ksuba, right? So now she comes, the guy died or divorced her, and she's coming to collect the ksuba. Now she doesn't have a ksuba. Like the Gemara is going to explain, it's a place that they didn't write the ksubas. Okay? So now the question is, how much does she collect? So it says, if she has witnesses that she went out with the Hinuma, like this canopy, like we learned, remember, that shows that she was a virgin, she automatically collects $200. But the Gemara asked, there's a problem with that. Maybe the lady will bring witnesses to Beis Din A that she had this canopy and they'll collect $200. Then then she'll go and bring out the ksuba. And I was like this. The Gemara is asking a very simple scenario. A woman could be a thief. She'll come to a Beis Din and says, you know, I don't have a ksuba, but I have witnesses that I was a psula. You know, the canopy. Beis Din's going to give her the money. Then she'll go to another Beis Din with a ksuba that says she was a psula, and she'll collect double ksuba.
Put the sign on it, nothing?
The first time she came without a ksuba. She doesn't, she comes to bed and says, guys, I lost my ksuba, I don't have one, but I can prove to you I was a virgin. Because I was a canopy, the numa, right? So now she's going to, the Mishnah says, you believe her, she collected 200. The problem is, she's going to go to another bez now with the ksuba, and collect another 200. So the Gemara answers, Amar Rabbu, Rabbu says like this, Zeis Emeres, this itself proves, Kais and Shevi, you write a receipt. That means that the first Beis Din is going to pay the money, she has to write a receipt to the husband or to the heirs that she collected the ksuba already. So she can't come to another Beis Din because I'll show the proof that they paid it. So the Gemara says, but our papa, Amar our papa says no. They been speaking, but Malkim Shein Kavin Kasing Subaskinen. The Mishnah, you know why she can't go twice? Because it's speaking a place where they don't write Ksubas, period. That's when the Mishnah says that if she goes out with the canopy, she can prove that she was a Psula. So then, but because there's no Ksuba, we're not afraid the husband is going to pay a second time. Because there's no ksuba. So what's the proof that she's not going to have to pay a second time? Ve'ika, but some people learn that the exchange between Ababu and Rapapa is on a braisa, on a different din of a braisa. What's the din? There's Gemaris over there in the... You staying or are you leaving?
Staying.
Okay, so there's in the bookcase in the...
Yeah.
Ve'ika, the masnul, a braisa. Some people learn it on the braisa. Another braisa says the din like this. So what happens if a woman lost her ksuba or had to mean a ksuba, so she hid it? In other words, like this. She got married, she put away a ksuba for safekeeping. Now she can't find it. And the guy died and divorced her, and she wants to collect a ksuba, but she doesn't have one. Or nisraf a ksuba, or the ksuba got burnt. Or, and therefore, the din is like this. Now, she says she was a psula. The husband says, you're not. You weren't. In other words, the husband's getting divorced from the wife, right? I mean, the wife's getting divorced from the husband. She comes to Beis Din and says, listen, I don't have my ksuba, but I'm telling you I was a virgin. And the husband says, no, you weren't. I'm only going to pay you 100 instead of 200 because you're not a virgin. What happened? So if she can, the din is like this. Now, if they danced in front of her by the wedding, which is a sign of a psula, or sachukul afana, they sported, you know, juggled and did things. Havil afana keisha psura. They used to bring a cup of announcement. In other words, at the wedding they would have a cup of wine called a cup of announcement that she was taka virgin. Or mapashab psulim. Or they can blow from a cloth that she was a virgin. So he said, im yeshla eidem bechad mikol eilu. If there's Adam of any of these facts that show she's a psula, ksivasim asayim the ksiv is $200. In other words, like this. I'm tezayin amid base, middle of the page. The Mishnah, our Mishnah said a din. The din of the Mishnah was that if a woman can prove, okay, again, it's the same argument between the husband and wife. The case of our Mishnah was a woman gets divorced or widowed. She comes to the husband and says, pay me the ksuma. He says, okay, but you were not a virgin. You were a widow or divorcee. Yeah? And she said, what are you talking about? I was a virgin. I was a psula. So what did our Mishnah say? If she can prove that she went out behind Numa with the canopy and her head was uncovered and all that, so then she gets him $200. Because that proves that she was a psula. So the Gemara asked, but why aren't we afraid she cracked double? So the Gemara answered, either you write a receipt or you don't write a ksuba. That's one. But in the Gemara says there's another brice, a similar din. A woman, a place that they write a ksuba, yeah? She lost the ksuba, it got burned, she can't find it, whatever. She comes to Beis Din to collect the ksuba. She got divorced, she wants a ksuba. The husband says, you were not a psula. You were a divorcee, widow, I'm paying you 100. She says, no, I was a virgin, I was a psula, I want 200. So it says, if she can prove that at the wedding they danced, what you normally do by a psula, she collects 200. So again, the Gemara's question is, the same Gemara again. V'leichash, why aren't we afraid? Dilma mapka eidem b'hai beidina. Right? She'll prove in when this Beis Din that she was a virgin. Then, and they'll pay her the 200. Then, v'hod the nafka l'ksubasa b'hai beidina v'gavi bei. And then she'll take out the ksuba. And in this Beis Din, she says, I lost it. And then, she's a liar. They'll give her the 200 zuz. And then she'll go to another Beis Din with the ksuba, no pay her. She'll collect double.
That's what a receipt comes
from. Oh, so the Gemara answers, I'm going to say, you write a receipt. And our Papa says, it's speaking in a place where you don't write the ksuba. So right away the Gemara asks, the woman says, I lost my ksuba. How could, in the Braisa, the case is, she lost the ksuba, she says it was burnt. So what do you mean they don't write a ksuba? She said I had a ksuba, but I lost it.
So what?
The papa said, the Gemara is, there's an argument between a babu and a papa. Yeah? If you write a receipt, or you don't write, it's a place where you don't write a ksuba. Correct? Yeah? So the question is like this. The second case of the Braisa, not a Mishnah. The Braisa says, a woman comes to collect the ksuba. They say, where's the ksuba? She says, I lost it. What does that mean? There was a ksuba, and I lost it. How could a papa say, speaking about a city where you don't write a ksuba? She said, I lost my ksuba. That means I had one, but I lost it. The papa says, it's speaking in a place where you don't write a ksuba. How could that be? So the Gemara answers, the kosev la ihu. It's speaking that normally they don't write, but in this case, they did write. So the Gemara says, then she could do the same trick. She'll come to the second Beis Din with the ksuba and collect again. So if sov mafka levigavi, she'll collect it again. So it says what it means like this. What does it mean, ibda, when she says it was lost? It doesn't mean lost that she can't find it. It means ibda ba'or. It got lost in fire. So we're not afraid she's going to come and take it out again because she says it was burnt. But so the Gemara right away says, yihachi ainu nisrafa. The Braisa says also either she burnt it or now lost means in the fire, so it's the same case. That it was burnt in a fire. V'eid, hetmina ma'ika l'meimer. Another case over there, it says she hid the ksuba. You can't say she hid in the fire. V'su ibda l'amali. It says like this. What it means is, I'll explain this whole thing in a second. Ela kol ibda ki hetmina b'faneinu dami. Means any case where she says, I lost it, okay, is like she hid it in front of us. Meaning, V'lo yavinale will not give her any money, ada amir eidim nisra faksibas, until the eidim say that she burnt it. The Gemara says like this, in the case of the Braisa, when she says, Maksibo was burnt, it means she has to prove with witnesses that the Ksibo was burnt. Then we'll give her the money. And then we're not afraid she's going to come to a second Beis Din and take out the ksuba again because the witnesses that it got burnt.
But doesn't it remedy the problem if you just give the husband a receipt and he hasn't?
Yeah, but that's one answer. Because, no, I'll tell you what the problem is. Sometimes the Gemara says you write a receipt. But you know what the problem with a receipt is? If the husband gets the receipt that he paid the ksuba, that means it's his responsibility to keep it. It's a burden. You know what I mean? It's not like today you have file cabinets and you put things away in a safety deposit box. Yeah, they lived in these huts. What did they have there? That means, bottom line is, and there were mice and rats and, you know, things got destroyed. If you're going to say you write a receipt, then the husband doesn't want to write a receipt. Because that means he has a burden to keep it. And therefore, the Gemara doesn't always just say you write a receipt. Rav Abu says, these dinim proved you write a receipt, because otherwise she might collect twice, right? But the Gemara, not everybody likes that concept of writing receipts. Because then it means that he has to keep it. I'll give you another example. Even that the Gemara also discussed in Babas in the many different places, yeah? I have a document, you owe me $1,000. You pay me the $1,000. What do we do now? Do we rip up the document or do we write a receipt?
After you lend the money?
No, I lend you the money, you pay me back.
Okay.
I have a document, you owe me $1,000.
Okay.
Yeah? You pay me $1,000.
Now what do you do with the...
What do you do with the document? So the machleik is in the Gemara, really. One opinion says you rip up the shtar. Because then, they can't prove anymore to collect. There's no document. Another opinion says, no, you write a receipt.
Do both. Do both.
But the argument is, the guy says, I don't want a receipt, because then the burden of proof is mine. They're going to keep the document. That means at any time, they can come and collect again if I don't show the receipt. That means I have a burden, a responsibility to hold the receipt. I'm not interested. And there's another issue. The Gemara also says in Bava Kama, you find a document. So the whole question is, it's worthless. But do you give it back to the lender or the borrower? So the Gemara says, if it's not claimable, like, who cares? So the Gemara says, lotzer apitz luchusit, to use it as a bottle cap. Parchment was very expensive that they wrote on, yeah? People would, even if it wasn't the valuable, it was worthless document, but they would want it to use it as a bottle stopper. Then, so the question is, who's the burden of proof? So in this Gemara, Rav Abu says, you have to write a receipt. If not, the lady's going to collect twice. Now, Papa says, no, you don't have to write a receipt. They're speaking in a place where they don't write a ksuba.
What happens today if somebody is in the divine and they don't want to collect? How does that work?
Today they would collect. If they can prove they got married as a psula, then they would.
Yeah, but people
to be witnesses. What type of wedding was it?
And if she's old
today,
or if the guy passed away,
like
the
second wedding, third wedding is the same thing as the first.
Then the kids get the receipt.
So it's the heirs are obligated to the.
Then the the children are obligated to keep the receipt. Because there's a risk, by the way, of ripping up the document also. What happens if she finds the first witnesses that signed the document? And she comes to bed and says, you know, I lost the document, but here are the witnesses that signed it. That's also a problem. She has two witnesses that happened. You know what I mean? So anyway you look at it, there's a pro and a con of it. So then sometimes you'd have to write a receipt.
Well, that's what it is in Machloket. This one has a logic.
The Papa says, speaking in case, we didn't write the ksuba.
Or you could say, you could put a mark paid on the ksuba, right?
You don't do that.
Where's your buddy, by the way?
The stamp paid?
Why don't you just give it back?
And what happens then? Then you know what happens? If they lose it, what happens?
Yeah, right.
If you give back the ksuba to the husband after he pays it, yeah? Then he has to watch the ksuba. Because what happens if he loses it and she finds it? You don't have a shtetl, right? You could lost it and she could find it. But again, she can collect double. Yeah. Okay, so that's what you do. But you know, the Gemara is halachically one of the two options are enough. The question: which one do we do?
I guess it's cheaper to keep her. It's an old saying.
In other words, Taisus has an interesting point over here. Taisus asked a question. Remember we said there's still a burden of proof. Say again, I lend you $1,000, right? So you owe me the money, right? So we write a receipt that you paid me the money, right? So you have the burden of proof to hold on to that receipt, correct? So you might say, why do we do that to the poor guy? Now why do we give him the burden? So the Gemara says, the Taisa brings it down from Bav Basra. Because the Gemara says, Eved Leiva Li Ishmalva. The Leiva is a slave to the borrower. The borrower is a slave to the lender. Okay? So because he's a slave, we give him the extra burden. So Taisus said, but the woman is not a slave to the husband, so why would you write a shaver? Why would you write a receipt? You know, Taisus is bringing down from the Gemara, basically, that you don't write a shaver normally, because it's a hassle. It's an extra burden on the guy to keep it. So the Gemara said, by a loan, we write the receipt, because, he should be a burden. He borrowed the money. He's a slave to the lender. Eved Leiva Li Ishmalva, the lender, the borrower is a slave to the lender. So we give him that extra burden. So they said, but a woman's not a slave to the husband. Why? So they said, any debt becomes like that. Any debt, you become the slave of the one that owes it to you. I'm doing that you owe it to. Okay. No thanks. Now, what's important here to keep in mind is like this. Rav Papa says, our Mishnah or the Braisa, the woman is only believed with the witnesses that she danced or went out with this canopy if there's no ksuba. What would be if the place does write a ksuba? What would be the halacha then?
If it was valid, huh?
Let's say the woman has you write the ksuba, but she doesn't have it.
And then we have the case that they lost the ksuba.
That's what I'm saying, but she lost it. Now she comes to Bezin to collect the ksuba. Yeah? And the husband and she said, I was a virgin. And she said, no, you weren't. So she brings witnesses. According to the Papa, that wouldn't be collectible. The Papa says the witnesses are believed that she was a psula only in a place where they don't write a ksuba. In a place where they write the ksuba and she lost the ksuba, it's her loss.
The other way around,
it's
more. She has a ketubah now. Then she didn't have a ketubah.
It's
more.
It's
more solid now. She has a ketubah,
lost
it. I'm saying, what happens if a lady lost it? According to the papa. Yeah? A lady comes to Beis Din and says, I'm divorced, I want a ksuba. I want 200 zuz. The husband says, no, you were a widow. 100. Okay? So what does our Mishnah say? She brings Edim that she was a virgin because they danced with canopies, whatever, right? What does she collect? Like a psula. Yeah? Now, Papa says that's only if they're in a place where they don't write a ksuba. If it's a place where they write the ksuba, and she comes to Beis Din saying, I lost my ksuba, but I was a virgin. And the husband says, no, you're not. You weren't a virgin. And she brings two witnesses that she danced the canopy. According to that puppy, she would only get
$100. Why are you making it hard for her in this case?
It's her problem because she lost the ksuba.
Because in the keduba, with keduba,
she lost the ksuba. What?
It would have specified if it
Yeah, the ksuba would have said 200.
Right.
But if she says she lost the ksuba, and it's a place where you do write ksubas, yeah, and now she doesn't have it, whose fault is it? It's her fault. She brings witnesses that she danced. Yeah? Rabbi Papa says that's not going to be good enough.
What about all those people who were at the wedding?
They don't know that she was a virgin.
Mm. But when did they actually do weddings without a ksuba? The fact that she says that...
No, even without a ksuba, there's automatic ksuba. That's a literal bond, even if you don't write it.
But who followed that?
The puppet said there were places that didn't write a ksuba.
Just the fact that they actually had a wedding and a canopy.
Yeah, they didn't write a ksuba. Yeah, but they didn't write the ksuba.
They had witnesses on
right.
What's the equivalent of 200 zuz in today's currency?
It's a big argument.
You live on one year?
Yeah, something like that, but it ranges. It's a big... From a few hundred dollars to tens of thousands of dollars.
Isn't there a biblical biblical commandment to have it actually ksuba?
No. Well, it's a machlekes if it's minatayda midrabanan. Well, then Taisus before. The Taisus says it's rabbinic, even though Rei D'oraisa, but it's still rabbinic and so on. Okay. Now, so there's the argument between Rav Abu and Rav Papa, if you write a receipt or not, is on the Mishnah. Some people on the Mishnah, some people on the Braisa. Right? So he says, Man the Masno am Braisa, the one that says the argument is about the Braisa, Koshkein amasnisin, for sure on the Mishnah, because the Braisa says she can collect, even though the Ksuba exists, but she lost it. So then Rav Papa will for sure not say you write a receipt. But Mandatonala Masnisin. But the one that says the argument is only about the Mishnah, Abraisa Laya, the Braisa where she says, I lost it, burnt it, whatever, because of the question that raised above, that since the Braisa discusses that the Ksuba is lost, that means it exists. How can you say that she didn't write the Ksuba? Okay, that's the Gemara. Okay, now it said in the Mishnah, what?
16b3, right? Why not?
Yeah.
And I'm assuming was it mainly the Rabbanim, just to protect her, that she would be able to divorce
her. So, Machlaikis and Yishainim, if Ksub is Minatera or Midrabbanim. Learned before. In Chumash it mentions not the word psula ksuba, but it says harbu olay mayar umaton. Rashi says mayar. What does Rashi say? Ksuba. Yeah. The parsha is vayishlach. Look it up. Huh? Yeah. Yeah. Tema Rameir is a common ksuba de Raisa. So Taisa says, So it's a machoikis in the Rishonim. Most Rishonim, by the way, hold ksubas medabonim. That's the whole machlekes. If it's minatayim medrabban, it's not tafyud. We learn the tesis, but the kanz chachamim. If this word would be right, there's a new Ramad Aleph, but there's another thesis. Waste time now, but Taisus says this that we write in the Ksuba that Isa
because he told us once is because you're obligated to listen to Rabbani according to the
right. No. No, that's not what I'm looking about. Oh. Same page, top Taisis. Matrix Subad Rabbanon, and Taisis says, Vikashu Dnoglirta Bixuzmud Chizimchidar Isa. So he said, it's a big machikis in Rishainim. We learned that, Tafyud. It's a big machikis in Rishainim. If Subad most of Sheita sold us the Rabbanon. Top Taisis. Okay, anyway, back to this Gemara. Now, the Gemara said before, the Gemara said like this. A woman comes to Beis Din, the divorced, the Mishnah said it then, she says, I was a psula, I want 200 zuz. He says, no, you weren't, you get 100 zuz. So if the witness is that she had the dancing and all that, she gets 200. So before that, the Gemara says, why aren't we afraid? She'll bring out, this case, she'll bring the witnesses that she was a psula, get 200. Then she'll take the ksuba out from hiding and go collect another 200, right? Now the Gemara is going to ask a different question, which we should have thought about before. The Mishnah says she brings two witnesses that she was a virgin, they danced, she gets 200. Why can't she go to the next Beis Din and bring the same two witnesses again and collect again? Forget the ksuba. She'll bring the two witnesses that they went out with a canopy to this Beis Din. They'll give it 200, as the Mishnah says, we believe her. Then she'll go to take the witnesses to the next city with the next Beis Din and get it again. Why are we afraid of that?
The bad things don't communicate?
Yeah.
How? Text?
I don't
know. How?
Email. Normally, how does that work?
That one, the Gemara asks, V'lecha, shwant, we afraid, the mamavka edin numa b'hai b'din v'gavya. She'll produce the witnesses that she went out with a canopy in this Beis Din. Then, v'hada mamavka edin numa b'din achrin v'gavya. And then she'll go to another Beis Din and bring it. Right, you collect twice. So my answer, Bim came to lay off, sure, you took a right. In a place where it's impossible, everybody says you write a shaver, you write a receipt. So Gemara Taka says you're right, in this case there's no choice. When she comes to first Beis Din, with the witnesses that she was a psula, and they're going to pay the psula ksuba, they're going to give the husband a receipt that it was paid. There's no choice.
If she goes to claim again, the husband can refute it and say, I already paid it. I have witnesses that
prove it. How do you prove it?
Doesn't the first case where the payment...
First of all, a lot of times you're talking about the case the husband died. So the heirs, what do they know?
They have to pay
it. Sure. It says the father's chayv goes to the kids.
That's where you need to...
A widow collects a ksuba? Hello?
Yeah.
From whom? from a dead man? She takes off his clothes in the dead grave and collects the dead. How does she get it? From the estate. Yeah, but that's the heirs now. Who owns the estate? The heirs own the estate. No. Wasn't community property in those days.
Unless you brought the money from her father's house?
Yeah, but then also the principal belonged to her and the son was sick. Okay. So the Mishnah said one of the things that proved she was a virgin was Keshol Besura, Beseira. Okay? An announcement cup. What type of announcement cup is this? Gemara says, "My keshel b'seira." So it's interesting. Amar Rav Ada bar Ava, what they used to do is like this: keis yayin shel truma mavir lefanel. They would take a cup of truma wine and put it in front of her, as if to say, if she would be married to a kohen, she would be allowed to have it.
That proves that she's a virgin.
What, for about 1 minute? So, Maskala Papa, Otu Almana Mileyachal Betruma. A Kohen can marry a widow.
Right.
And a widow, if a Kohen marries a widow, she eats Truma. So, how is this a proof that she was a virgin?
It doesn't.
Because maybe she was a widow. So, my answer, Papa says, no, a different thing. But it meant not that shows that she could eat Truma. It means, Zuracious Kitruma Racious. That this girl is first, meaning a virgin, just like Truma is called beginning. Truma is called Reishis, beginning. So they say, basically, by putting this cup of Truma in front of the girl, they're saying, just like Truma is called beginning, this girl's a beginning, meaning a virgin.
When do they put the cup in front of her? Before the
by the wedding.
After the
by the wedding.
Before the ketubah?
No, by the wedding. The ketubah was first. The ksuba was written first. He doesn't give it to her until right before the wedding.
Is that the cup that they say Sheva Pachazon?
No. No, it was a cup of truma, in fact. She wasn't allowed to drink it. They took a cup of truma from a kayin, and that was the custom those days.
Why the first answer wasn't good?
Because... But basically you're saying is she was 50 truma because she married a kohen, so she must be a virgin. Right? So the Gemara asked, but an almana can marry a kohen and she eats truma and she's not a virgin.
Okay, so
no. How is this proof that she is a virgin?
So the answer...
It's a different answer. That just like truma is called beginning, this girl is a beginning, meaning a virgin.
So symbolic.
Yeah, symbolic. It was just a tradition to show that she was a virgin.
It's the same by Almona too?
No, they didn't know by Almona.
Oh, they don't
know. No. That's what the husband says, you are an Almona. She says, no, I was a Psula. So if she can prove that they put this cup in front of her, that they only did that by virgin. So to prove she was a Psula, so she can collect 200. Instead of 100. Then there was another custom. So it says, Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda says, Chavis shall yayim avin lefanel. Huh? A barrel of wine in front of a virgin girl. The question is like, listen to this. Amen of Adabarab. Psula, if she was a virgin, they would mavin lefanel stuma. They brought a sealed barrel. If she was bull, if she was lived with, they would bring an open barrel. Amai. So the Gemara says, why did they do such a crazy thing? Why didn't they just do simple? Neved kami psula. Do it in front of a psula. And in front of a not psula, don't do it. Like, first of all, it's confusing. You know, people see a barrel. Not everybody sees it if it's open or closed. Right? So the Gemara says, why in front of a psula, they bring a closed barrel. In front of a psula, bring a barrel. Not. So the Gemara answers, no. Because Zimnan tofsim Messiah. Because sometimes she'll grab the 200. Listen to this. V'amal, she say, I was really a virgin. They didn't bring it, the barrel, because it's no circumstances, the uncontrollable circumstances, they didn't bring the barrel of wine. So therefore, they brought an open barrel in front of this one and a non-open barrel in front of this one, that you can never say they didn't bring a barrel for whatever reason.
Is that for sure or for it to keep?
No, not to keep.
For sure.
So how is she going to produce it later?
No, she proves, she has Adam that they had a barrel. At Adam, there was a barrel like that.
Later, they cut it in half, they put it in the garden, they put flowers inside.
Okay.
Some imagination.
They used to do strange things in those days with the girls. But even, you should know, the Yemenites do a lot of strange customs with the girls, the first marriage. Different hair pieces and colors. No?
Have you ever saw Chena? Chena.
No, Chena. Chena is the red.
Chena.
Yeah, that's what they call it. But the way they dress them up, you know, like a mound.
Yeah, but the Yemenite, you see pictures of the...
Wow. Very elaborate.
Very. But they only that for a psula, I think.
It's not a kavod haberiot, like embarrassing someone that is not a betula.
Everybody knows she wasn't. No, we're talking about married or divorced.
Huh?
They're married or divorced. We're not talking about anything else. Well, yeah, Pesach, Besuch, Matzah, you know, that whole Gemara.
But in Yemen, they bring grasshopper as a...
Grasshoppers?
Instead of a
ring. Yeah. I look at that. Should see the grasshopper zoo.
Sure.
No.
Some
sort.
Not anymore, right? Not anymore.
Only certain types. They know which ones are good, which ones are not. Okay. Now the very famous Gemara. Tan Rabban. Rabban learned. Kate and Ragnum of Neakala. How do you dance in front of a kala?
That's famous.
That's more
than no, the Gemara. The Gemara, then. Kate and Ragnum of Neakala.
First Gemara, then
Kate and Ragnum?
Yeah.
What
I got
there,
that's what
I'm
doing.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Okay, how do they do it? Bishami Amin Kala Kamei Shehu. A Kala the way she is. Meaning, you don't lie. If she's beautiful, you say she's beautiful. If not, we say another nice quality that she have. What? Shooter. And Taisa says, if there's a mum, you just keep quiet. Okay? Or something else, you praise her with something good that she had.
What is a mum?
Blemish. Mum, a blemish. So Beishami says, as we'll soon see, you cannot lie. It's interesting, I mentioned this, I think it's Ramban, in Chumash, when it speaks about Rachel and Leah, when it describes them, so it says, V'ene Leah Rakis, Leah's eyes were tender, and Rashi said, because she cried a lot. Because everybody said, there's two kids, Yaakov and Esav and Yaakov, and there's two girls loving Rachel and Leah. Right, so Leah is going to marry Esav, and Rachel is going to marry Yaakov. That's what everybody said. So Leah was crying a lot. That's the simple meaning of the word. The Ramban says, Chas v'shalom to say, the Torah says something negative about her. It means the Torah basically saying she didn't look pretty. Right? So the Ramban says it means the opposite. The Eini Leah Rakis means they were tender, her eyes were beautiful. In other words, Rachel was beautiful all over. Right. But Leah, rather than saying negative, because the way Rashi explains it means that her eyes were ugly from crying a lot. Yeah? But Ramban learns, no, Eine Leah Rakis means the opposite, that they were gorgeous eyes. That's what Taish says. Beishami says, you praise him with the good quality they have.
And then Rachel has beautiful face.
Right, everything.
Rakot doesn't mean gorgeous.
Soft. Tender.
Oh, in the good way.
Yeah. Okay. Ambei siluimim kala nova chasida. Beautiful, charming bride. So amla beishami la beisilul. Beishami says to beisilul. Adeshai sechigeres yisilma. If she was crippled, lame, or blind. Aimim kala nova chasuda. And he says, La teira amra midvashaka tirchok. There it says you're not allowed to lie. So how can you praise her ugly kala that she's beautiful when the Torah says you're not allowed to lie?
Not political.
Beisham was very.
Yes.
Okay. So Amal and Beisham, so Beisil answered Beisham like this. The Devreichim, according to your opinion, somebody made a bad deal in the street. Do you praise it or do you degrade it? I would say you should praise it, right?
Yeah.
Why? Because that's to make peace. When you tell a guy you're stupid, look what you bought, you're an idiot. You tell him, oh, it's a good deal. Are you lying? So he says like this. Why isn't it a lie? Mikan amru chachamim leilam teidaita shel adam merevis and avrius. Okay? So it means like this. The Mefarshim explains, even though the Gemara doesn't say, but the Mefarshim explains what the Gemara means, according to Beis Hillel, is in his eyes, she's beautiful, or if not, he wouldn't have married her. So maybe for the masses, she's ugly, but obviously for him, she's good.
What about option C, Rabbi? Can't you say just stay quiet instead of telling the truth and not saying anything?
Yeah, but this has a deeper meaning, no? We're going to go to a cow's house and then she brings food and then it's salty, it tastes lousy. Yeah. Are you supposed to say it or not? Isn't that the same concept?
Depends if you're Israeli or not. You see, yeah, the food wasn't good. If you're American, well, you're politically correct, and you say your food was good. No, but Taisa says, so what did Beishami hold? Beishami says, yeah, you praise it, but the Chama not going to be misak and make a takona, something which is not true. You know, the Mishnah, the Bryce is saying, how does the Chacham say, how does Taita tell you to dance in front of a kala? Yeah? So Beishami says, yeah, privately you could do it, but the Chachamim are going to make a takana to praise a girl when it's not true.
Well, like to lie and say she was...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But Mikan Amr, but Beisil says an interesting thing. A person mind should always be compatible with people.
What is no rovet means? Like, what is the shortest? No rovet,
is
that mixed?
Tarov is mixed. You sure? Because if you're a nice guy, you get along with people.
Okay.
You mix with people. Compatible with people. In other words, so the Rishonim asked, but Beishami, but Hillel is lying. Beisil didn't answer Beishami's question, though. If you think about it, Beishami said to him, if she's ugly, how can you say she's beautiful? So Beisil says, if a guy buys something, but that doesn't answer the question. You're still lying. Okay? So what's the answer? It's not lying, because in his eyes, it's taka beautiful. It's not, he wouldn't have married her. But, in order to get along with people, you could say something, even though maybe it's better to be quiet.
Is this connected to testifying for her?
Let's say you go to somebody's house for dinner, yeah? You leave their house. What are you supposed to say?
Food's great.
Food was delicious. I go home and throw up. But you say, that the food was good.
That's what you're supposed to do.
But go home and throw up?
Whatever you want to do after.
No, but why are you supposed to do it? Is it lying?
No, it's just being nice.
Yeah, like is it? For the owner, it's good.
For the owner, it's good. No, this is a very important concept that Basil is teaching us.
Lives in a dog house.
It's basically what's called a white lie. In fact, the Rebbe brings down Taka. Hillel learned this. Doesn't Hillel learned this from Aaron HaKohen? Yeah. Shamrei Dev Shamrei Vitz Bim Kavin L'Teir. So it says in Pirkei Rabnosin, which is the Brises and Pirkei Avos. So it says over there that Aaron. How? What did Aaron do? So Aaron went to. If two people fought, Aaron went to one guy and said, "You know, the guy wants to make up with you," which wasn't true. He said, the guy wants to make up with you. Then he went to the other. He said, oh, okay, then I want to make up with him. Then he went to the second guy. He said, the first guy told me he wants to make up with you. Yeah? So the Rebbe said, he's lying. He's lying.
The white lie.
No, he said the guy wants to make up. He never said such a thing. So the Rebbe explains it with the Rambam. Every Jew wants to do what's right. So the real Jew wants to make up. That's what the Rebbe explains in the Sikha. How could Aaron do that? He's lying. He said, Reuven and Shimon are fighting. He comes to Reuven and says, Shimon told me he wants to make up with you. That's a lie. He never told him that. But the Rebbe explains, because the truth is, Shimon wants to make up with Reuven, because that's what the Torah says to do. Wow. The same thing with Hillel.
Just like greeting him up to it says yes?
Yeah. Yep.
I saw another place, Moshe couldn't.
There's a Mishnah. One of them said, there's a Mishnah, that a guy came to Rabbi Shmuel and said, I want to divorce my wife, she's ugly. I want to divorce her. So, basically, Rabbi Shmuel told the guy, get lost. And they were very poor, she couldn't dress properly, she had no makeup, she looked terrible. So he gave her money, and he told her, go get your dressed up, get a manicure, get a new shaitel, get a whatever it was. She come back, and the husband looked at her, and he says, oh, she's beautiful. So Rabbi Shmuel said, there's a famous Gemara, Mishnah, B'nai Yisrael Yaf Yisein. No, Yaf Yisein, one of the virgins. They're beautiful, but the poverty makes them look bad. But Be'etzem, so when you say Kalandova Chasuda, the truth is, B'nai Yisrael Noise, Yaf Yisein. They're beautiful.
But the Loshon case that Merakelim between Akala doesn't say what this is. How do you dance? How do you explain it saying something? It says case that Merakelim, how do you dance? Doesn't say what do you say? The simple.
Yeah, but the simple meaning, case of Merakelim, is when you dance, what do you say in her presence? That's what Rashi says. Rashi, you see the last Rashi in the page? Keith and Meragdim, Ma'imnum
Lefanaho. So, why doesn't it say that explicitly? What do you say when you're dancing? It's like hidden.
It was to make the chassan feel good. He should get romantically liking his wife. Can you imagine coming over to a guy and say, you know, your wife's ugly?
Israelis do. I have a cream for your ugly wife. He says that. It's true.
Yeah, Israel, I told you. We'll tell you the food doesn't taste good.
Selling the cream.
So that's okay.